Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Scripture reading today is from the 18th chapter of Luke, verses 31 through 43, and you can find that on page 82 if you'd like to read along in your pew Bible. Then Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, "See, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished, for he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." But they understood nothing about all these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The man said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, praised God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
A lot of the words that we have focused on today, a lot of the scripture, a lot of the words that you have read back to us, a lot of the words we used in the communion elements today focused on this idea of seeing, of seeing. Jesus has that the first unit there that Leanne read seems to focus on the fact that Jesus is communicating to the disciples one more time what it is that he's going to do. But this time, they are not able to see what it is. It's blocked from them momentarily. They're not able to see what it is that he's going to be able to do. And the immediate next two passages, one of which we read, one of which we did not, I'll tell you about, focuses on this idea of sight. Jesus is in Jericho. In the Markan portion of this, Jesus, the Mark names who the person is, calls him Bartimaeus. Luke leaves the name out, but it's the same story. And Luke is focusing on the fact that he is off to the side of the road, and he seems to know who Jesus is intuitively in some kind of way. You notice that when Leanne read it to you, We didn't say that he was told, this is Jesus, son of David. He figures this out on his own. He knows this health somewhere else. It's a way of affirming what Alan talked about in the children's time. This is the Messiah. And he wants to focus on seeing. He wants to be able to see on an ongoing basis is what he's talking about. Nonetheless, he focuses on this idea of seeing. And in the next passage that we didn't read to you is the story of Zacchaeus. It focuses on the same kind of idea. Zacchaeus is a small man, and in order for him to be able to see Jesus as he is in Jericho there, he has to move and get to a higher place to be able to see. And that's the focus that I want to use today, is this idea of getting to this next to last Sunday of Lent and focusing on this idea of seeing Jesus in the world. Now, next week we're going to have a sermonless, or it won't be a very long sermon, but we're going to focus on scripture and readings and things like that with some brief reflections in there. We're going to start with the joyous entry into Jerusalem, and the people there are going to think they see Jesus in one kind of way. And then by the time we get to the end of the service, we'll be seeing Jesus at the base of the cross. That's where we'll be. Palm Passion Sunday. So today what I want to do is focus a little bit on the 4 weeks that we've had prior today and try to ask some questions here. How is it that we might see Jesus in these stories, in these parables, in these passages out of the Bible? Now, the week before we started Lent, we focused on Transfiguration. Transfiguration Sunday is not part of Lent, but we set the stage. We set the stage there with this, and it was important that Jesus became self-identified. He understood who he was and what his task was, and he focuses a great deal on getting to Jerusalem. Matter of fact, the Lucan text is probably the clearest in this of the fact that Jesus has been told who it is that he is, and he is to move towards Jerusalem. Why moving towards Jerusalem? In order to die, in order to go to Calvary on our behalf. And that becomes his entire focus. On Wednesday that week, on Ash Wednesday, we came in and we read a passage where he's transiting the desert. He's transiting the desert, quickly going through Samaria, and people are trying to get him off target, off focus, by reminding him of some kind of slight that has been received there. And Jesus will not take the bait. He will instead stay focused on Jerusalem. He's not going to do anything there to cause his mission towards Jerusalem to be deterred. Then the first Sunday of Lent, we came in and we talked about a familiar passage. We came in and we had a very familiar passage there for us. It was called the Good Samaritan. And we talked about how that word was scandalous to those that were hearing it. How it would be that the scandalous nature of that word that we've domesticated, we use it a lot on a regular basis to talk about people on the side of the road, good Samaritans, people who take actions on your behalf. But Jesus, the equivalent here, is almost like Jesus was saying, the good member of ISIS. Now, if you can't wrap your mind around it, that's almost the impact that the Good Samaritan story would have had in the first century. And the question was driven by, who is your neighbor? How is it that we are to understand who our neighbor is in that passage? And I would say to you, it's a scandalous nature. We are to see so many as our neighbor in God's world. So how do you go about seeing Jesus in the scandalous nature of how you are part of displaying God's grace in the world? The next week, we came back and we did a little theological conversation. We came in and we talked about reminding ourselves that the algebra doesn't quite work when we're talking about Jesus. He's 100% divine and 100% human. And if you try to, you sit there and look at that, and if one of your children were to come in the home in the sixth or seventh grade and lay that out for you, you'd say that's impossible. You can't be 100% of those two things. But that's not the way God's algebra works. God's algebra works in a very different way, which is the fact that Jesus is 100% divine and 100% human. And so often we come in here on Sunday and we just keep wrapping our mind around that divine element of who Jesus is. And the passage we read that Sunday was this one where Jesus is lamenting the rejection he is going to feel in Jerusalem. He's going to lament, he laments that. And as you read the passage, you can almost hear the pain in his voice. How is it that we display the image of Jesus out in the world? How do we go about doing that? How do we let the pain that is around us become something that we can see and witness and cause ourselves to be vulnerable to that pain in such a way that we can be like Jesus and lament what is going on in the world? The third Sunday, we came back to another familiar passage. We came back to another familiar passage, and we read two of the parables, and we think we know the third one, which is about what has been lost has been found. We read a parable about sheep that were lost. We read a parable about coin that was lost. And then we talked about the prodigal son. And we talked about how Sharon Ringe at Wesley Theological Seminary reminded us that this passage is about tremendous joy. It's not the kind of joy you think by perhaps finding your keys when you've been looking around the house for them. It's the kind of joy that you would experience if you had had a relative in the Twin Towers on 9/11/2001 and received a call from a hospital on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday of that week and said, I've got your husband, wife, daughter, son, cousin, next door neighbor. They lost their identification in the hubbub. We didn't know who they were. They were unconscious, but they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine, and I want to call you and let you know. Can you imagine the joy that you would feel that day? That's the kind of joy that Jesus is laying out for us in these three parables. That which was lost has been found. And it's just not your keys. It's somebody's life, somebody's soul, somebody's very salvation has been found. How is it that we hear that story, and how do we find joy in that story? Unfortunately, there's a negative element to that story that Jesus doesn't close off for us. He reminds us in that story that there's someone watching in that story who watches and listens and hears all this and comes back to the Father and basically says, "Not fair, not fair. I don't like the way you dispense love and grace in the world." And the Father responds as the loving God that we know, which is, I never stopped loving you. I've always loved you. But that which is lost has been found. Can we celebrate that? How is it that we celebrate the lost that is found? Are we sometimes potentially like that older brother and ask that people go through certain kinds of steps in order to be found? Last week, we focused on the idea of getting past privilege. I confess to you, there are times we use that word, and it's a defensive word. There are times that people hear that word, and they sort of lean back, and they say, "You're not talking about me, Bubba." And sometimes we are. In this country, if you've been born in this country, if you've been born in this country a certain gender, if you've been born in this country a certain race, you've been born on third base. You've been born on third base. And so often we stop and say, "You know, I got to third base and I hit a triple." No, you didn't. You won the birth lottery. You won the birth lottery. The passage here in this was about Lazarus at the gate. It was Lazarus, and he's not able to wear purple robes because he's got purple skin that's all covered up with boils. And the man in the story keeps walking past Lazarus every single day, until finally the end comes for both of them. And Lazarus is in heaven, and the rich man is in Hades. He's in Sheol. He's in the place of darkness. And he doesn't dispense his privilege right away. He turns around to Father Abraham and says, "Tell Lazarus to bring a thimble full of water to me and make me feel better." You can hear the privilege in the story. How is it that we exercise privilege in our world? How do we understand privilege? The invitation, therefore, is we really do get to understand some of this by going down and being part of those that need love, need relief, need care. And some of them are downright unlovable, but love them anyway. So how do we go about doing that in God's world? Now, we come back today to this idea of seeing. And the focus here is how it is that we can see Jesus better. I would say part of how we see Jesus better is by taking these four examples here that we've had and try to make them part of who we are, part of how our life is. We display God's love in a scandalous way. We are able to let barriers crash down and able to display and love those who are normally scandalous to love and use as good examples. We remind ourselves that Jesus was totally human and that the pain, the poignancy that we feel at times is part of being human ourselves. Our walk with Christ doesn't compel us to be perfect in all things. It doesn't require us to never have any pain, never have any experiences of that. And so reminding ourselves during this Lenten period that seeing pain, being in pain, is part of being walking a normal life. And Jesus experienced pain like we do. But at the same time, the opposite side of that is being able to understand that joy is what it is that we are to experience when those that are lost are found. You've heard the story here many times. It's been told by Tim Strickland about how this church saved his life. What's the cost of life? How do we measure the investment in that? How much do we do? And the answer is you can't measure that. It's immeasurable. We had the lady come in from Family Promise who said that we were a part of changing her life. How do you measure the value of that? Do you put that in dollars? No. No, you don't. So it's a chance for us to see how we can be Jesus in the world, Jesus' hands, Jesus' feet, Jesus, the display of grace that we're capable of doing because there's a piece of God inside of us that's in no one else. So the question comes up, how is it that we potentially see Jesus in the world? I would say to you that part of how you might see Jesus in the world is to go into the room of your house, which has a mirror there, turn the light on, open up the door, and look in the mirror. And that's how people see Jesus in the world. They see Jesus in the world through you, through your love, your grace, your kindness, your display of God's love in all that you do. The two anthems we sang today seemed to, you could hear them and think they were only focused on the idea of being close to death. But the idea of this, the last one we sang, was this idea of, I want to meet Jesus. I want to meet Jesus. And you ask, maybe that's how it is that we meet Jesus, by getting ourselves past the troubles of the world and being God's agent to display that in all that we do, in a scandalous, joy-filled, human, and very, very unprivileged way. The Word of God for the people of God, and the people of God say,
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.